Did you know that Artan Reno has an Instagram?
Yeah, at Biggest Little Streets, right? They post awesome street photography photos and updates on their latest stories and podcast episodes.
Feel free to follow us on Biggest Little Streets if you like Instagram and message us with any story ideas.
Thank you for listening to the Artan Reno podcast on KWNK LP 97.7 FM and on Spotify and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Today I am here with Chris Reynolds, the owner of Cold Stone Creamery in Reno. Chris, do you want to introduce yourself briefly?
Hi, as Ariel said, my name's Chris Reynolds. I've been a local business owner since 1995 in Reno, and currently just have this one Cold Stone that's been around about 19 years over at Plum in Virginia in the old Shopper Square, currently the Reno Public Market.
Now, a word from our sponsors, and we'll continue with Chris Reynolds, a local business owner.
Welcome.
Hello.
We are the Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Podcasts.
Client services.
Special projects.
Documentaries.
We are a production center at the Reynolds School of Journalism.
The Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Media Lab.
And how long have you lived in Reno, Chris?
I moved here in 1995 when I bought my first businesses.
And how did you get into being a franchise owner?
Well, where I grew up in my adolescence was in Auburn, California. And when you're 15 and looking to get a job, it was fast food or a grocery store. And I'll save you the details of why I didn't want to work in a grocery store. And everyone could probably guess why I didn't want to work in fast food. So there was a Subway opening, the first one in Auburn. And I thought, well, this is definitely the lesser of all the evils. So I started working there and eventually was managing the store at 17 and 18 years old. And then, you know, wanted to move on and, you know, get an adult job. So I partnered with the people I worked for down in Auburn to buy some stores up here in Reno. So that got me involved in franchising. And then about 8 years into Subway, wanted to diversify and found the Cold Stone concept down in the Bay Area and investigated that and then brought Cold Stone to Reno.
And you guys have been very successful through COVID and sort of all of those issues that arose. You were previously located at the other end of the sort of shopping center. How was moving over to this new nice location? I'm sure everyone can hear the fridges and, you know, people scuffling about as they prepare to open. How has this nice new location helped business?
It's cute that you call it the end of the sort of shopping center because, yes, at the end there when Marshall's was gone and it was Porta-Subs had closed. I mean, everything had left besides pretty much Cold Stone and a 40-year-old CVS drugstore. So certainly the move was terrific. We would get comments all the time in the old store about this creepy old hallway and just a rundown shopping center and weirdos milling about. So now that we're out on the corner of Virginia and Plum in a brand new building with lots of great windows and a patio, nice open ceiling floor plan, and made a lot of changes in the design of the store to accommodate people hanging out and enjoying spending time here rather than handing them their ice cream and pretty much kicking them out the door like the old store was set up. So yeah, it's been a terrific move. Both the combination of moving to the new location and visibility, and unfortunately the positive effects for COVID on ice cream and a couple other food concepts in the community has really worked out.
And do you have any sort of plans for the future with Cold Stone? Any sort of expansions that you have planned in the future for this new boom in ice cream?
Well, we did build a food truck during COVID and then had an impossible time having enough staffing to even take care of the store, much less get the food truck out in the community. But this spring, this coming spring, 2023, we'll be taking catering events for that, as well as going out to special events in the community. And we are working on a couple of leases for other locations around town. I don't want to say exactly where, just because it can be confidential until you have a lease and you're ready to go. So we are planning on expanding, and a little nervous about that because I feel there will be a recession in the next 5 years. And one of the things people cut out of their lives is expensive coffees and upscale ice cream when they have bills to pay.
Once again, thank you for listening to the Artan Reno podcast on KWNK LP 97.7 FM.
We'll get back to our episode shortly, but first a word from two other podcasts in Reno you should subscribe to as well.
Do you like podcasts? Well, we have a podcast from you. This is Sean from Up in the Mix.
This is Della Foto. Do you like to get into random wormholes of conversation?
Do you like to learn about the culture from sneakers to hip-hop music to basketball?
Then we have a podcast just for you. We have one called Up in the Mix.
It is available on all streaming platforms from Spotify to Apple. Check us out, upinthemix.live, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Salud!
Do you want to keep up on what's happening in the local art community? Double Scoop always has the scoop on that. Want to know which exhibitions, parties, and other art events are happening this weekend? Follow us on Instagram at Double Scoop Nevada and listen to KWNK 97.7 FM for our Short Scoop Art Events Roundup. If you're an artist and you're looking for places to show your work, we have lots of opportunities listed right now. To find them, visit doublescoop.art/events and filter for Call for Artists. If you'd like to follow all of our art news and meet local artists, you can sign up for our email lists at doublescoop.art.
Welcome back to the Our Town Reno podcast. My name is Ariel Smith, and today I am hosting an episode with Chris Reynolds, the owner of Cold Stone Creamery in Reno. Now back to our episode.
All right, Chris, and you mentioned before that COVID sort of boosted your business and, you know, ice cream sales. Why do you think that that is?
Well, I think when COVID first happened, we didn't know what to do or what to expect. And then we sort of settled into understanding that we couldn't go into businesses anymore. We had to order, wait outside, or order through a third party like Grubhub or Uber Eats, Postmates, etc. I think when people couldn't spend their money going on vacation, going to the movies, going to Wild Island, or going bowling, whatever they would normally enjoy doing for entertainment, and that just might be going out to a restaurant, they were pretty much stuck with concepts that do well bringing food to them or picking it up. And oddly, ice cream travels very well if you plan ahead. So other business owners I know, pizza shops and ice cream shops just really flourished because there was a lot of what people would normally use as disposable income to do fun things. They couldn't do them. So there was a lot of money out in the community where, And honestly, if you're a parent and your 7 and 9 year old are at home and they're driving you crazy and you just need them to do their homework or go watch a movie or go play with their brother or sister, you're going to say, hey, if you do that, we'll get pizza tonight. Hey, if you'll leave mommy alone so she can work, we'll get Cold Stone tonight. And so just a combination of things made, you know, a lot of ice cream sales. And even now that things are relatively back to normal, we've kept that momentum. And that's a combination of building that customer base, but then also having this nice new store that people feel good about coming into.
And during the pandemic, did most of your sales come in through those delivery apps, or was it still mostly in person?
I think in the very beginning, when we didn't know what to do and we had to adapt and figure out how to take orders outside and run inside and make them, we were probably 50-50, where thankfully I'd already signed up for all the delivery companies, because knowing that Shopper Square was going to go through this remodeling and we would probably get relocated, I knew it was going to be hard for customers sometimes to get to our location. So I'd already signed up for that to not have a lull in sales. A lot of businesses hadn't, and then it was a rush to get on those third-party apps when everybody in the country was trying to get on them. So it was probably 50-50 in the beginning. And then as things kind of leveled out and eventually we were allowed to let people at least walk into the store, maybe 4 or 5 feet, and meet the cash register and order there and be able to wait out in our sort of pseudo lobby, it balanced back out. I mean, these days, sales are still about 65% customers walking in the door and 35% generated either from our own website or third-party websites.
And how do you think COVID sort of helped you grow as an entrepreneur, as a businessman?
That's a very interesting question, because my specialty is not running a day-to-day store. I find that to be a little mundane, and it's just the same thing every day. I really enjoy building stores, developing locations. And so when COVID happened, it brought out my entrepreneurial spirit of kind of recreating and figuring out how to succeed in diversity. And so we did several things and lucked out again by having the third party companies already set up, but just creating QR codes for people to order from and getting menus put out on the windows so that people, when they were forced to order outside, could read a menu and know what we had. And it just shocked and amazed me that so many businesses I went to would just have a handwritten sign that was like, call us. And so it was kind of fun for me to figure out how to make it work. The non-fun part was figuring out a way to keep employees safe and have them feel comfortable working in a situation where none of us knew really what was going to happen. And that was really difficult. And not everybody would have agreed at the time, or maybe now, some of the choices I made. But I definitely did my best, and I'm very proud that we never closed for even 5 minutes due to not having staffing or not being able to find quarters or find things in the supply chain management issues. Like, where there's a will, there's a way. And that really kind of inspired me into going back 15, 20 years when I was young and starting out, figuring out a way to succeed.
And I know that during the pandemic, you sort of let previous employees come back who were having a hard time financially, you know, when we saw a lot of businesses just laying off their employees that they had previously. What sort of inspired you to be so kind and generous to your former employees?
Well, Cold Stone's always been unique in that a lot of past employees come back. There's a very good culture, and it's a good environment. And honestly, when you're a young person, who wouldn't want to go home smelling like a waffle cone as opposed to French fries? So I've always enjoyed having employees come back that have left on reasonable terms, we'll call it. So I don't know that I'm so generous. It's good for me in that I'm getting a pre-trained employee that I already know their skills, and they're coming back to something that obviously they enjoyed. So that's a win-win situation. And yeah, when COVID happened, a lot of people lost their jobs. If they were working in a full-service restaurant, not a lot of full-service restaurants could pull off COVID protocols. And if they did, they just needed 3 people in the kitchen. But they didn't need waiters, waitresses, hostesses, hardly dishwashers. So, I mean, it felt good to be able to give people opportunities like that. But really, it's a mutual beneficial situation.
And then I know that a lot of people aren't quite aware of how much of your product is made in-house. Obviously, we do get to see the mix-ins being added into the ice cream. Can you sort of tell us maybe about the ice cream making process or the waffle cone making process?
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that as a company, we could do a better job having people see, in that all the ice cream we sell at Cold Stone is made in small 2.5 gallon batches in the back of the store. So we make ice cream virtually every day of the year. And so the ice cream you're eating today is not made more than 3 or 4 days ago, typically, and sometimes yesterday. And that's a huge benefit to why it is so creamy and indulgent. We also, to the grim or the dismay of employees, make every single waffle cone by hand. And so in the summer, that's sometimes 300-400 plus waffle cones a day. And it takes 45 seconds to a minute to make each waffle cone. So it's a challenge to get that done. But again, you go home, you stop by the grocery store, and the person at the cash register says, wow, you smell great. And that's probably the only positive of it.
Alrighty, Chris, you did mention that you have sort of a positive environment here at the store. What have you done to sort of foster that positive, welcoming environment among your employees?
I think it starts with hiring the right people to begin with, in that when I interview people, pre-COVID, we always did what we call auditions, which were group interviews, in which we just play games, 2 truths and a lie, ask silly questions, just try to find out the employee's personality and how that would fit in with, hopefully, the rest of the personalities in the store, because you want that synergy. And when I'm hiring somebody, all I really care about is, can you smile, make eye contact, and talk to people? Are you happy about being alive today? And show some enthusiasm. You know, someone walks in the door, you say, hi, how are you? And that's lacking in most places today. So by hiring people with just that thought process, you end up with people that are healthy, interesting people, and they're involved in different activities, whether it's student body government or sports, or they're in band, but they have things going on. They're artists, they're creative. And this is an opportunity where you get to talk to people, you get to have some fun with ice cream, you get to make people happy. I just think all of that rolls together to create a really positive environment. and it's healthy and it's fun to be around. When I first opened Cold Stones, my biggest challenge was the employees were so interesting and fun that sometimes it was hard to manage them because you just wanted to be their friend. You just liked them. Now, I was a lot younger then than I am now, but still a challenge sometimes. They're just generally a good group of people that you'd want to hang out with.
And you guys do offer custom cakes. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, if I stepped back when you asked me about the ice cream and the waffles, that's where I should have mentioned. We do hand build every single one of our cakes. So we do custom cakes, but we also have about 18 different cakes that we stock regularly in the store, as well as really cool ice cream cupcakes, Reese's peanut butter cup cupcakes, ice cream cookie sandwiches. And so that's a really important part of the business because people take our product and share it with their loved ones, which is marketing that, you know, I couldn't ever pay for because people are sharing what they love with everyone they care about.
Alrighty, Kristen, is there anything else that you'd like to mention that we didn't discuss?
Can I mention that Ariel used to work for me, and her experience here means a lot to me that she would still have that relationship with me a year, year and a half later to reach out and want to do an interview like this. And that's probably one of the most valuable things to me in owning a business is creating those relationships and being somewhat of an influence in young people's lives. So thanks, Ariel.
Alrighty, Kristen, where can we find you?
Oh, we're at 273 East Plum Lane, which better described is the corner of Plum and Virginia in just the edge of Midtown Reno in the new Reno Public Market, where almost everything is about to open here in the next couple months. So there's going to be a lot of exciting things happening down here.
Perfect. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this Our Town Reno podcast episode. Here we have stories about gentrification, life on the streets, the affordable housing crisis. Find us on Facebook at Our Town Reno, at ourtownreno.com, and on Instagram at Biggest Little Streets. Check back in for next week's episode or delve into our archives, and remember, help each other out.